Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Closing arguments beginning this morning in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial. He is accused of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments made to an adult film star during the run-up to the 2016 election. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
The former president clearly frustrated heading into this pivotal week in that hush money case. He spent the Memorial Day weekend lashing out at the various judges overseeing his criminal and civil trials. Trump, just hours after posting to social media honoring our fallen veterans on Memorial Day, quickly turned to attacking the, quote, human scum, accusing them of tearing down the country.
Pope Francis has apologized after he was quoted using a vulgar term to reaffirm the Catholic Church's ban on gay priests. Deadly airstrikes in Gaza. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says 50 civilians were killed when a refugee camp in Rafah was hit by missiles. 20 people more than hurt in severe weather across the country over the weekend. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is joining 23 other states in supporting proposed new rules to support pregnant and postpartum workers. The Pregnant Workers Fairness Act would require accommodations for conditions related to pregnancy, including abortion. Attorney General Josh Call says workers should not have to choose between their health and their jobs. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The National Weather Service offices that cover Wisconsin say that so far this year, 20 tornadoes have been confirmed in the state. Five of those tornadoes touched down in west central Wisconsin a week ago, with storms affecting Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties. Five more happened to the east in Clark County with the same storm system. Three more tornadoes were confirmed over the weekend in southeastern Wisconsin, bringing the total in the state to 20. Last year, Wisconsin had 21 confirmed tornadoes. Viterbo University will be cutting over two dozen positions to help manage a budget deficit. According to Viterbo, a total of 25 positions are being cut. 14 of those positions are currently vacant and won't be filled. Viterbo said declining enrollment is a factor, as enrollment has dropped by 13% over the last 5 years. Viterbo's budget deficit is $5.5 million. The positions will be cut effective at the end of next month. The positions eliminated are about 3% of Viterbo staff. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers stun the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A showdown between the crew and the Cubs in front of a sold-out AmFam field, a scoreless pitcher's duel. Until the eighth, with Willie Adames at the plate for Milwaukee. Coverage, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Wisniewski deals, Adames center field. Bellinger on the run, he looks up, goodbye! A three-run blast, Willie Adames!
The Brewers went on to win 5-1 over Chicago. Adames on taking a swing with three balls and no strikes.
I don't really like to swing 3-0, but today it's just the right opportunity, the right moment, and the right situation. I think today we got the results we wanted.
Meanwhile, the Cubs' scoring drought continues.
We talked about margin for error, and certainly when you're in this low run scoring environment that for us, you know, a couple weeks now, your mistakes are going to hurt you bad.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible from late this morning through early this afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a high of 66. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 46. Tomorrow, sunny 70. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, once again, for people who are just joining us, the selection of music that you chose.
Well,
today,
it's sort of Memorial Day-esque. That's music from the various wartime. The Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy was one of the top hits during World War II, about World War II.
All right. Let me do this, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines. James Carville. And, you know, James Carville, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, he was everywhere. Had this kind of slang speech, a droll. What was it, from Texas somewhere?
Yeah, he was from the South, you know, and it was a distinct Southern accent. I'm not enough of an expert on Southern accents to tell you where. I have the sense it might have been Alabama or Georgia.
Right, right. And so he was married to a woman, and I forgot her name. You'll bring that up for us, Sandy. Madeline, something tells me it was Madeline something.
Well, I believe it was.
But anyway, he was a Democrat. She was kind of a Republican. And the fact that they would be going at it sometimes.
Well, let me fill you in on two things. Georgia, state of birth.
Okay.
And Mary Madeline was the
Mary
name.
Madeline.
She was the political, the right wing political consultant.
Right-wing political consultant. He was on the other side of the spectrum. And so you would see them sometimes, you know, they were able to pull this off, Sandy, because they were on television quite a bit, the yin and the yang of it in the same family. And I always wondered,
They obviously were able to build, to cross the divide and get along. I think they remain married.
Yes.
And she was a consultant to the first George Bush, George the
First. Yes. And she's kind of gotten out of the spotlight. James Carville still from time to time, because he's looked at as a famed Democratic strategist who basically dances to the beat of his own drum. Nobody controls James Carville, Sandy, and what he has to say. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, he throws all convention to the wind, and is a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Right? He enjoys political incorrectness and being direct. He's the inventor of the it's the economy, stupid. And we might have more to talk about in that regard a little later. But yeah, he's clearly been viewed as kind of a political savant.
So James Carville had this to say. Now, this is not Sandy Williams. This is not Earl Ingram.
Oh, I fear what you're going to read.
And this is, you know, a couple days ago, James Carville says preachy females are hurting Biden's appeal among Democrats. Now, longtime Democratic strategist James Carville blamed too many preachy females in the party for decreasing President Joe Biden's appeal to men. Carville gave his politically incorrect take to Maureen Dowd in her opinion column published Saturday in the New York Times. After Dowd wrote that Carville has been obsessed with Biden bleeding black male voters, Carville offered his eyebrow-raising assessment. A suspicion of mine, this is Carville speaking, is that there are too many preachy females dominating the culture of the party, he said. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. If you listen to the Democratic elites in PR is my go-to place for that. The whole talk is about how women and women of color are going to decide the election, Carville continued. I'm like, well, 48% of the people that vote are males. Do you mind if they have some consideration? Now, 844-967-2789.
Well, you threw the grenade into the room, Earl, and now you think people are going to want to jump on it or talk about it. You know, I think what he had to say, I think he tried to assign gender to something that is different than gender-based. I do think that the Democrats have maybe become overly fixated on a variety of issues that are a bit extraneous and are what has caused them to be called like liberal elites by those who don't like them. And it relates to things like veganism and not eating meat to save the planet. And, you know, the fact is that liberals embrace a wide range of people. And that wide range includes many who are very concerned about a whole bunch of social issues and issues at large. And so it probably is unique to those who are Democrats to be worried about things like, should we be eating as much meat as we do for our health and for the planet's sake based on methane production and all the rest of these issues, which are rejected by, I guess, a fair number of people who want to bury their heads in the sand. And I might accuse the male gender of being much more likely to prefer their head in the sand.
Well, you know, Sandy, it makes me think, okay, so these things that the Democrats are talking about, you know, and methane and all those things are real.
Yes.
And so they're made to be ninnies. And the fact that people shouldn't be eating a lot of red meat, it's a proven fact of what that does. And yet they're vilified and made to be some kind of caricatures the other side.
Just to make sure that I can verify everything that Carville had to say, I was listening to NPR a couple of days ago, and they had a piece on all about the history of the meat industry in the United States and how it is that during the 40s and 50s, the meat industry spent a lot of money advertising to make sure that people understood how virile it was and how very important it was for manliness to eat lots of beef and meat, and that the source of protein, the only healthful source of protein, was meat and its byproducts. And that had a lot to do with the incorporation of and creation of large corporate farms with feedlots and the things that have driven farming into being a much different venture, and that cattle raising has become much different than it was.
So I have to say, Sandy, because Democrats point out things that are beneficial to people on the other side as well. It's not like Democrats are saying, hey, you Democrats, eating a lot of red meat is going to be detrimental to your health. And the Republicans, you know, it's not going to be the same for them. But Republicans then turn around and say, well, you know, those people are just, they won't leave things alone. I want to keep eating my red meat. As if they don't understand the outcome of what that is.
Well, but I think Carville has a point that from a gender standpoint, and it is true, if we had an election that was only voted on by men, Donald Trump would win by a landslide, okay? So, you know, there is something to be said about what he's saying, that the message that's being given by the conservatives and by the liberals, the conservative message appeals more to men than it does to women. And then we have to ask ourselves why, okay? And that's an interesting question. I think his answer is not very appealing to many people because of the way he puts it. But I do think that there is something to be said about a gender appeal that relates to the message that is conservative as compared to liberal.
But Carville is a throwback. I mean, he's from a time when men controlled the conversation.
Well, let's put it this way. If you had an election amongst men who were older than 50, I suspect the Trump victory would be a landslide. So, you know, throwbacks have a big part. You and I are throwbacks.
I know throwbacks. So we're talking about a time when men controlled all those things. And women aren't going back to that.
I know, but it's those very men who feel they're losing control.
Well, that's
okay. So now we're maybe beginning to get to the kernel of what Carville didn't get to in his discussion. But I do think that it's men. It's white men who are losing a dominance which was real in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and which is less real today, or at least feels threatened. Today.
Sandy, that's it. That's the crux of what we're dealing with. And women, even white women, are saying to white men, that's over. Okay? You better understand that time is over. And so we as women, you know, we realize that we're equal in this society, and we realize that you're not going to control everything that you can. So get over it. Things changed. And from Carville's perspective, you know, whether we like the way, you know, women look at things, they look at things through a different prism than you and I. You know, you and I, hey, meat, eat it. Oh, that's steak, good for you.
Good.
Yeah.
Meat, good.
hey,
vegan bad.
Yeah. So John Wayne is a guy who ate steak every day because nobody ever told him that his colon couldn't eventually, that these things would.
Did he die of colon cancer?
Yes.
There you go.
But he ate steak, a big, strong, that's an American way. We're going to eat steak every day. Well, those times have changed. There's more information on these things. And so women see it different. I mean, my wife eats.
I do think this, that men are more reluctant to move forward in a lot of these kind of thoughts and stick to their guns.
844-967-2789 is the number. That's a great conversation. That's your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know Spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn. Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you're playing this music based on?
Well, the different war. Memorial Day, and so I've tried to find music that memorializes the various wars. Obviously, this was Billy Joel, Vietnam. Yeah. In fact, I think when the helicopters come in the beginning, you know which war it's about.
You know, so we're talking about... what's Carville's name?
James.
James Carville. James Carville, in a statement that he made, that the Democrats are being too preachy, and that if they don't hurry up and change the trajectory of the election based on what they're talking about, you know, it may be too late, and that females have been very instrumental in pushing the Democratic Party where it is, and that it's not appealing to men. A manly man is.
I would say that this whole woke thing, I think what Carville was beating around the bush about was trying to put something tangible to discussion about this whole ephemeral concept of woke that seems to excite people without any definition. And I think it probably excites men far more than it does women in terms of what the impact of it is.
I will say this. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. It's really interesting. One of my favorite TV shows of all time was Married with Children.
And mine too, man.
Ed O'Neill. and Ed O'Neill... in that, you know, he's a very, very strong progressive, actually, in real life. But the thing is, that show kind of exemplified what men and hyper-masculinity, you know, was supposed to be about, going to the nudie bar and not really getting, you know, it kind of made it where it was kind of cool to be dumb or kind of cool to be, you know, not in the intelligent and drink the beer and eat the meat and, you know, all of these different things, almost like me, Tarzan, you, Jane.
Meat.
You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And meat.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting about it, and I think that what some people are coming to the realization of, is that, you know, like my family has a farm. They raise their own cattle. They actually sacrifice or use the meat to feed themselves, you know, sustenance. But the thing is, there's been so many CAFOs that have happened around the state of Wisconsin, and they're all corporate farming now, that meat is not the same as your grandfather or your grandmother's meat, because it's no longer safe to eat. And it only ends up hurting you by putting penicillin in the meat and putting hormones in the meat that actually end up really messing with people's systems. The other question I have, and Sandy, I really want you just to think, well, you don't have to answer it today, but I have a lot of friends, and I grew up with a lot of friends that were Catholic. Now, I believe the issue is a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose when it comes to a woman choosing to terminate or not terminate a pregnancy. But I look at it more like big government versus the individual, and I'm for the individual's rights. But there are so many people out there that are just one issue voters. And there are so many people in the Midwestern part of Wisconsin anyway, and probably the Eastern part of Wisconsin, the Green Bay area, that are one issue voters. And it is on this whole thing of a government's right to choose, or what they would call pro-life. I know that the religious right did a very good job coining pro-life, because we know the opposite of pro-life is pro-death. So I guess what I'm asking you, Sandy, is how do we get these people to get off of the being that one issue voter? Or are they just lost and we just have to make sure that we get all the women possible that believe in a woman's right to choose out to vote? I didn't mean to sway the conversation. It's just something I've been really thinking about. But as far as the meat thing goes, and the manly man and the hyper-masculinity, I mean, really, Donald Trump is nothing more than, you know, Al Bundy, Rich Al Bundy.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, before you respond to that, let's go to Susan once again. Susan, you say what?
Well, I normally don't call in twice, but you did throw the grenade in the room, so that's all on you.
Well, James Carville is the person who said this, that women and the Democratic Party has swayed towards women think, and he says that's a negative thing, and it's really going to impact, you know, the outcome of the election. I don't say that I agree with him. I don't agree with him, but that's what he had to say. Go ahead.
Well, I don't agree with him. I think that women only want equality. We don't want to be preaching to people. We show the facts. We want our kids to grow up healthy. We want our husbands and brothers and to live a long life. And it is shown that some things like alcohol, drugs, red meat are detriment to your health. So if you want to live a long, healthy life, listen to a woman, because we sit and we look at this, we read this, and we try to give you the facts. We don't preach. Whether or not you want to go along with it, it's up to you. We give you that opportunity. But when men say things like this, they really make us women a little mad, because you're looking at us like we're stupid, and we're not. We're highly intelligent. We're just trying to help you lead this comfortable, long life. And that, but if you choose not to listen to us, that's fine. I don't care. I'm going to keep on going no matter what, you know, and that's how I look at it. But I don't like that terminology, and I don't like going back to the 50s, the 40s and 50s. I will never go back. And hey, I don't want women all over the United States to go back.
Hey, Susan, okay? Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hang on the line. We'll continue on the other side.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. If you have loved ones with Alzheimer's, experts say communication skills are important if they start to feel overwhelmed at big summer gatherings.
If someone says, oh boy, I'm not feeling well, I gotta go home. Okay, tell us what home means to you. What is it like at the home? Oh, you grew up on so-and-so Avenue. Tell us about that. Don't say, remember this, remember that.
Kristen Cusato is a spokesperson for the Alzheimer's Association. Experts recommend smaller get-togethers for people with dementia instead. The owners of the Mount Olympus Amusement Park in Wisconsin Dells say they have the tallest water slide in the world. It's called The Fall, and it's 145 feet high. It's one of five new water slides that open to the public this Memorial Day weekend. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Beginning today, a part of Highway 82 in Vernon County will be closed for the summer. The Wisconsin DOT says Highway 82 between Highways 35 and 27 will be resurfaced. The project will also repair culverts, gutters, and guardrails and include new pavement markings. Highway 82 will be closed until mid-September while the work is done. The DOT says that the posted detours will use Highways 56 and 14 to get around. The $9.7 million project will wrap up in early October. This weekend will be the beginning of dairy breakfast season in Wisconsin. The events are sponsored by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Monroe County's 43rd annual dairy breakfast will be at the Witt Family Farm in Wilton on Saturday. Crawford County's dairy breakfast will be in Gaze Mills at the Crawford County Fairgrounds on Saturday as well, where the finalists for the next Alice in Dairyland will be announced. You can see a full list of dairy breakfasts statewide this month at wisconsindairy.org. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Morgan Spurlock, who lampooned the fast food industry with his documentary Super Size Me, has passed away. Yahoo Entertainment reports the Academy Award nominee died due to complications from cancer. Spurlock showed the effects that an all-fast food diet had on his body and mind. He was 53. Let's stick with gluttony. All great competitors should know when to step down. Such is the case with competitive eater Kobayashi, who claims in his career that he has eaten over 10,000 hot dogs. I actually thought that would be more. Kobayashi once consumed 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, shattering the previous record of 25 1/8 hot dogs in the same amount of time. The athlete says after eating competitively, two words that should never be used together under any circumstances, for decades, he has no appetite. The moral of the story? If you cram as much food as you can into your pie hole for two decades, you'll eventually lose your appetite. And that's a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible from late this morning through early this afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a high of 66. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 46. Tomorrow, sunny 70. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
How do we honor those who have fallen and died for this dream? I'm sure of one thing, it's not with gridlock or bickering. We're the children of explorers. We came here from every corner. The adventurers that settled this land. We led the world, fought tyranny, touched the stars, brought liberty. Let's do that again.
Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're still talking about James Carville and what he had to say about the Democratic Party leaning more towards women issues. And he believes that they've got to not totally dismiss it, but that 48% of the voters are men. And he's pushing back and saying that Democrats are leaning too far towards these feminine issues. And I don't think these things can be considered feminine issues when you're talking about, you know, climate change and,
well,
and those kind of things.
Except that I think if we did polling, this is just a speculation. I haven't done it and haven't read it, but this is my intuition. If we polled men and we polled women, we'd find out that women were far more worried about climate change than men. If we polled women and we polled men, we'd probably find out the same thing back at the time of the pandemic, that women were much more concerned about the issues of the pandemic than men. And I was just had an epiphany, which is that I think that men are likely to think of things in economic terms. That what is it that's going to damage them economically? And, of course, the response to climate change has the potential to have economic downside. The response to the pandemic, freezing the economy, had a lot of downside economically. The meat issue almost relates to economics. So I'm thinking that men maybe are much more inclined to think of the world in near-term economic terms, and women are much more inclined to think about other issues that affect tomorrow. It might have to do with the maternal instinct, offspring, and the like. And so, you know, is it in our DNA for men to think this way, or is it something that's societal? But I don't know. I'm going to do some research before the next show, but I'm confident that if we looked at polls, we'd find out that women are far more worried about future issues than men, and men are far more concerned about tomorrow and not the day after tomorrow.
Well, in the analysis, it's life or money. And women think life is more important than the other. Let's go to Cam from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cam. Your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. I would consider myself probably on the more sensitive end of males. And, I even feel like I'm kind of a wiener when it comes to, like, how much I cry at things. I'm pretty dang sensitive, but I don't impose any of the things that are making me cry on others. I just look at them and I'm like, stop looking at me. I got tears running down my face, you know? So when I hear this polling and the suggestion that, women are coming off, from what I'm hearing, he's essentially saying that women are sounding naggy and they're driving men away. I think he's primarily wrong, but he is right in the sense that he's following what I would consider traditional males are calling naggy. And a comparison that I would have that I would challenge women to listen to is, when's the last time your husband or significant other bought their own clothes? If you told them to go to the store to go buy clothes, they would probably just roll their eyes and not do it. But then come Christmas, you end up buying them clothes, and then they're thankful because they have new clothes. But they would probably see that as something that was naggy. Is it really a naggy? No, not really. You're saying, hey, buddy, take care of yourself better, and then they just don't. So I think that the definition of nagginess just has not shifted to these people to be more modern, and that's what they're assuming is driving people away. And I don't know if that's a cultural shift that we need to work on to get people to go, look, you're kind of being a moron by not taking care of yourself. You shouldn't need a significant other or the females around you to tell you to take care of yourself. Brush your dang teeth.
Hey, Cam, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Sandy, you want to respond?
I'm brushing my teeth.
Okay. Hey, let's go to Gene from McClare. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. I know you got a mouthful.
How do you know that, girl? I just love that, Cam. He is just a beautiful guy. A mouthful. I got more than a mouthful. I thought I was listening to right-wing radio this morning. I thought, oh, my gosh, what happened to our station? So anyway.
Hey, Gene, I told you, you've got to get the app. You've got to get the Civic Media app. And you won't have to worry about the station disappearing.
No. She said she thought she was listening to right wing. That was James Carville we were quoting. That wasn't Earl or Sandy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's one of those goofy characters that I'd rather not watch. But sometimes he's got some interesting things to say. This is like right wing talk. I mean, the way that women were treated, and they're trying to push them right back to where they were. I was, you know, that's all I got. I used to live in a city, then I had to move to the outside of a city, and I heard all these things about women. It was just unbelievable. You know, we should have fault divorce because, you know, women won't be able to just divorce their husbands because years ago you couldn't get a divorce when you were a woman. It was unbelievable. Women had a hard time getting a divorce when their husbands were running around philandering and things like that. It's been, you know, women have started till they got Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and those idiots representing people. They got no respect for women. Now, I don't think that women have to pick out men's clothes. I don't think they should even be pointing out a lot of the stupid things that men used to do and are starting to do and then do in a certain kind of party that are pushing against women. Those men that are pushing against women have had trouble with women their entire life. And let's talk about the big guy. I heard this morning when I woke up, and I'm sorry that if I missed something. But I'll tell you something. I've been watching that trial. And I've seen the evidence, you know, as they bring out the specific evidence, the documents are numbered. You see that this is the true evidence, and it's not live, but it's coverage of the trial from lawyers. And this guy should not get away with this. This is important. He's gotten away with crimes his entire life. And we all think, well, you know, he's never been held accountable. Well, if he has, and I'm talking about you-know-who, and if he sat a night in a jail cell, he might reconsider his behavior instead of slapping us all in the face. And so it's to me, it's heartbreaking to hear that maybe we shouldn't have, you know, gone after him for his crimes. Every goddamn crime that guy committed, starting when he ran for office till he's done, he should be taken to court and to task on, because he hurt every single one of us in this country. So thank you, guys. I had a mouthful. I apologize, but God darn it.
Yeah. Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call, as always. Bill from Oconomowoc.
Good morning, Earl. I really appreciate what you do, you and Sandy do. Women in today's culture have risen above men, I believe, because they're showing how the greatness of women can do.
Hey, so hang on, Bill. Hey, Bill, excuse me. Hang on a second. Do you think that James Carville is onto something or off base?
Well, he's got a point to a degree, and here's what I mean. I'm in the outdoor world. I train hunting dogs. I find the most successful people in the outdoor world are women. They're movers, they're shakers. My daughter, my granddaughter, oh my gosh, what the things they have accomplished is unbelievable, and it would have been not even possible 20 years ago. So when it comes to the election, I think women are the ones you got to really be talking at. You really got to be talking to them. myself, I'm complacent. I like my wife to pick out my clothes. Or if I don't, if she doesn't, and I buy something, I got to have her approve it because I want her opinion. I value her opinion. It's important to know her opinion. So women are a driving force. And by the way, I got to leave you with this thought. I watch Fox because I have to. I always say I watch Fox so nobody else has to. This morning, the question on Fox is, what is Trump in court for? That Fox is showing ignorance. They don't even understand the law. If they got to ask, why is Donald Trump in court? Are you serious, people? Are you educated? Any of you have degrees? Or you don't understand our court system? I'll leave you with that.
Hey, thought. Bill, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. And I think somewhere along the line we've lost what the conversation is really about. And that's, again, the fact that one of the top Democratic strategists thinks that the Democrats are making a mistake from focusing on the things that they're focusing on and not the things that he thinks and claims that women who have kind of taken control over the narrative of what the conversation is about for the reelection of President Joe Biden. Mary?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was lost there. A couple of points here. Good points are being made. So women have been the major caretakers of the home throughout history, and it stands to reason that, you know, we're on the front line in caring for the planet in terms of climate change. And then in terms of health, there's a book called The Better Half by Sharon Moalem, not sure of the pronunciation, in which he, medical, you know, the husband who is an MD, talks about the health of women having great advantages over men in terms of longevity, resilience, and immunity. So people might want to take a look at that, both men and women, to and really take care of our health best we can. Thanks for the address.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for the call. No question that I should be listening to my wife when she tells me what I should eat and shouldn't eat. There's no question. She knows that, and they're concerned more about our longevity sometimes than we are ourselves. But anyway, Sandy, U.S. debt now $7 trillion bigger than the entire economy. And I read something the other day where we paid $515 billion towards
interest.
Yeah, interest. And so several things. If we are that far in debt, but $500 billion towards interest. Sandy, we need to bring in more revenue to pay this down.
Well, what this means is that our debt has been growing at a faster rate than our GDP because, as a percentage of GDP, it's risen from 40% or 30% to now I think 110 or 115% of GDP. So, what does that mean? That means that we can't let debt grow at that rate. We have to make sure that debt going forward grows at a rate, at least on an average basis, grows at a rate that is slower than the rate at which GDP grows. Because if that happens, then this percentage will start to shrink and we can get back down to something more like 50% of the GDP rather than 110%. But it will require fiscal discipline and it will require us to make careful choices in Congress. And it shouldn't mean that we cut out important programs. It should mean that we rank important programs importantly and cut out programs that are less important in terms of expenditures.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number.
We need to increase revenue.
All right.
Obviously.
844-967-2789 is the number. On the moon.
Eagle 1490 AM. Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Ron from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Ron. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. I'm of mixed feelings on this, as I often am on the subject, which is, I think Democrats do need to be less policy oriented in their messaging, but I don't think they should have no policy in their messaging. I think they need to refocus what the emotional messages are. Let me give you an example. My analogy is, I used to be a journalist, and of course, if you're in print media, magazines or newspapers, there's a story and there's a headline. And most people these days, for better or worse, read the headline. They might read the first paragraph or two of the story. Well, in politics, the headline is the kind of stuff, Build Back Better is a headline. And Seal the Border is a headline, Republican headline. The story is for example, Joe Biden and Democrats get into all the nitty gritty of, we did this and we did that, and we allocated this much money for you and that much money for you. We need both, but the selling point is the headline. So I'm sure that they're going to get their policy positions out there in their advertising and so forth. But what's the headline going to be? It's going to be, what's this year's a version of Build Back Better? It's got to be something. I would say it should be fair and square. That's the headline. That's the Democratic promise. We're going to be fair and square with the American people on the way money is spent, and everybody gets a fair deal. For the first time in decades, rich folks and corporations are going to pay a fair and square tax amounts so that we can reduce the deficit and still pay for the critical programs that grow the country.
It certainly sounds plausible, Sandy.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that headlines are what have traction. That's how we got into the world of sound bites. I mean, sound bites and headlines are essentially the same thing. And the story is what's actually important. And I guess without an effective printed news media, which I guess you used to be a part of, and used to is probably the operative term for most of the people who were in print media, because it's gotten to be something that's more or less in the rearview mirror. Print media is where we got the story and got the understanding. And now we're left with headlines, which is what drives TV news and what drives TV stories. I think clearly the both parties have to figure out what the right headline is. And your headline for the Democrats sounds like a good one. But we need to get the story, and we need to get into the story, and we need to get all genders thinking about the ramifications of the story. And I think what Carville's worried about is sort of the gender difference with respect to the willingness to consider the story.
You know, Sandy, we'll get back to last couple minutes about this deficit. And if you listen to, you know, cut this, cut that, fiscal responsibility, you know, none of us are disagreeing with that. But those things alone aren't going to solve trillion dollars in, you know, debt.
Cut this or cut that. You know, we cut the revenue side a great deal in the last presidential term under Trump, and that is just as irresponsible a financial act as increasing expenditures above revenue. Okay, when you reduce revenue, you simply created a larger deficit. And so we need to have all these things on the table, but in particular, we need to have revenue on the table and the sources of revenue and the fair contribution of all the participants in the economy to the revenue of the government in order to support a sustainable government. And I was saying early in the show, I think that one of the reasons that I'm worried about our economy is the fact that it's the economy, stupid. James Carville's headline for Clinton doesn't apply anymore necessarily. The economy was strong, and when Trump lost his reelection, the economy is very strong now. But it's easy for the opposing party to attack the economy, even when it seems to be strong with all macro measurements, because the middle class is not participating actively and effectively in the accrual of wealth in the economy that's going on, and it's that middle class that is struggling, and it's easy for politicians to persuade that middle class that regardless of the numbers, the economy isn't really doing that well. And if that middle class thought about their plight, they'd realize that it's programs, it's the loss of government programs, it's the loss of pensions, and it's the loss of child daycare or the lack of child daycare, if it's the cost of health care, it's these things that matter. So we have come full circle.
You know, Sandy, I'd also say the at the root of a lot of it is the loss of unions and the impact that long term that the loss of unions have had. When we look at all these different things, Sandy, and these things are really being attributed to Joe Biden because he's the president of the United States, and whether or not it's right or wrong.
Exactly. When the economy has poor architecture, the incumbent is going to suffer regardless of whether it's his fault or not. And what concerns me is that this poor architecture in the economy really requires some new and different government programs with respect to health care and health care costs, with respect to child daycare, with respect to pension arrangements and the cost of education, the things that are driving the middle class, the two income earning middle class, which is different than the old middle class with one income earner. It's driving them into a corner, and we need to address those things and address the deficit, which means we clearly have to increase revenue, and we also have to evaluate other programs like military spending.
All right. That's it. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy. We'll see you again on Friday. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madnair on air, and she's got a special guest in today.
Yeah, Joe Zepecki will be hosting today.
Yeah, Joe Zepecki. All right, we'll see you guys.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Madnair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.